the good shepherd of the sheep who laid his life down for them. I welcome you all to our ordination service for Elder David Jerizzo. One of the most important things that can happen in the life of the local church is the ordination of an elder. So today is a very special and joyous day for all of us here at Grace Covenant Church. When the Lord spoke to his people through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 3:15, he said, "And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." As we can see, the giving of elders brings great blessing to a congregation when they are shepherds after the Lord's own heart. Today's service is the formal admittance and installation of David Jerizzo to the office of elder and pastor. Over the years, different people have said to me, "David will make a great elder someday." Well, that day has come. Hallelujah. As one who has been duly called to this office of elder or pastor by the Lord Jesus Christ through the common suffrage of this church, David is now to be authoritatively admitted to this office by the laying on of hands by the elders. And in expressing our fraternity, our fraternal unity, according to our Confession of Faith, chapter 26, paragraph 14, it is an honor to welcome the elders from four sister confessional churches in Arizona who will be joining in this important service. So a special thanks to Pastor Rob Cosby from Tucson Reformed Baptist Church, to Pastor Alan Dumbasha and Chris O'Neill, both from Providence Reformed Baptist Church in Casa Grande, to Pastor Warren Smith, the newly ordained pastor of Phoenix Reformed Baptist Church, and Pastor Chris Marley from Miller Valley Baptist Church in Prescott. Thank you to you men for coming and helping us today. Also, we want to give special recognition to David's father-in-law, Pastor Dallas Satterfield of AJ First Assembly of God in Apache Junction. He was going to be here to show his support. And personal friends, Pastor David Schecksnyder of Providence Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Scottsdale, Pastor Gary Johnson from the Church of the Redeemer in Mesa, Arizona, the church that planted Grace Covenant some 37 years ago. Prison chaplain Bob Cosby, also of Trinity Tucson Reformed Baptist in Tucson, co-elder with Rob, Dwight Fisher of Tucson Reformed Baptist, and retired Pastor Larry Vincent of Heritage Baptist Church, Mansfield, Texas. Welcome to you, men of God, and thank you for coming to show your support. The man who is set before us today has not been formally trained in a seminary institution. That is something few men with full-time employment outside the church are able to do, and it has never been a requirement for the office of elder. But David has received a lifetime of apprenticeship in a confessional Baptist church, along with 39 years of personal pastoral mentoring from the founding pastor of this church. He is not someone new to our church, but has been here since our church began. His call to office is not the result of passing an exam, but the fruit of many years of close observation by the elders. The church has voted for him, and not primarily because they like him, but because they recognize the call of Christ on his life and confirm this call in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to ignore such a call would be to disregard Christ and to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so it's our privilege to admit David to this office today. But today's service is not all about David. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, who walks among the golden lampstands of his churches and raises up elders whom he holds as stars in his right hand. So our ultimate purpose in this service this afternoon should be to worship the risen Christ, who has ascended on high and has given gifts of men to his church. So let us begin our time together by acknowledging the sweet and awesome presence of Christ, who is among us as we sing hymn 271 in our Blue Trinity hymnals. And this will be followed with the opening of prayer by Pastor Alan Dumbasha of Providence Reformed Baptist Church.
Turn to hymn 271, how sweet and awful. Let's stand together and sing.
From Providence Reformed Baptist Church in Casa Grande. Let's pause for prayer. Our Father, we lift our hearts this afternoon to acknowledge how kind, how merciful, and how gracious you have been to us. Thank you for, in the fullness of time, that you were pleased to send your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come into this old sinful world We also thank you that in the fullness of time he went to the cross. And there he bore the wrath of Almighty God against our sin. Thank you that on the third day he rose again from the dead. And he ascended back to the Father and is now seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, where he makes intercession for the people of God. And we are grateful that the Lord Jesus continues that work of calling sinners from all corners of the globe, bringing them into this one fold, so that at the end of the day, there will be one shepherd and one flock. We thank you for the joy of those of us to whom you have been pleased to give the gift of leadership. And this afternoon, it is a great joy for us to witness what is happening here, that in your sovereignty, you have been pleased to work in the lives of your people and to set aside our brother David. And as we join to worship you and to witness what it is that you are doing here at Grace Covenant, that the name of Christ will be honored and glorified amongst your people. That as David continues to serve you in this place, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be magnified, your people will be edified, and the church will continue to grow from strength to strength. And at the end of the day, that all of us might acknowledge that our Savior, our risen Savior, continues to march from one victory to another until at the end of time, all the people of God are gathered home. So be with us this evening, bless our time together, and we ask that the presence of Christ will be known and felt by your people here. Holy Father, we pray, hear us now as we seek your face in Jesus' precious and holy name.
Pastor Chris Marley of Miller Valley Baptist Church. Let us turn to God's holy, inspired, living word. First in Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 32, where we see Paul speaking to the elders of Ephesus. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonments and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And our second passage comes from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So, I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. May God bless this, the reading of his word.
My name is Warren Smith. I am the pastor of the Phoenix Reformed Baptist Church. I will be reading from the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith, chapter 26, starting with paragraph 8. The particular church, gathered and completely organized according to the mind of Christ, consists of officers and members, and the officers appointed by Christ to be chosen and set apart by the church, so called and gathered, for the peculiar administration of ordinances and execution of power or duty, which he entrusts them with or calls them to be continued to the end of the world, are bishops or elders and deacons. Paragraph 9. The way appointed by Christ for the calling of any person fitted and gifted by the Holy Spirit unto the office of bishop or elder in a church is that he be chosen thereunto by the common suffrage of the church itself, and solemnly set apart by fasting and prayer with imposition of hands of the eldership of the church, if there be any before constituted therein, and of a deacon, that he be chosen by the like suffrage and set apart by prayer and the like imposition of hands. Finally, paragraph 14. As each church and all the members of it are bound to pray continually for the good and prosperity of all the churches of Christ in all places and upon all occasions to further it, everyone within the bounds of their places and callings in the exercise of their gifts and graces, so the churches, when planted by the providence of God, so as they may enjoy opportunity and advantage for it, ought to hold communion among themselves for their peace, increase of love, and mutual edification.
David, it was my honor to be there at the hospital when you were born. Later, I had the honor of baptizing you based upon your repentance and profession of faith in Jesus Christ. I later had the honor of officiating at your wedding, and now I have the honor of giving the charge to you as our new elder. So truly, my cup runneth over, for which I give thanks to the goodness of the Lord. My heart is full of joy and emotion. And your mother and I are so proud of you and thankful for all that God has done in your life. As part of my charge to you, I want to set before you some expectations that come with the office of elder, mainly two. What is expected of you, first of all, and then second, what should be expected by you. And these exhortations are not just what you must do, but who you must be. What is expected of you, and as an elder, you are expected, first of all, to be like Christ. That's all. Just be like Christ. You won't go wrong. I could end with that. You have been predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son, Romans 8:29. You've been called to be an imitator of Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:1. You should seek the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, to have the same attitude as Christ, Philippians 2:5, to follow the example of Christ in John 13:15, and walk as Jesus did in 1 John 2:6. For you to live is Christ, and to die is gain, Philippians 1:21. This is your first priority as an elder, because from your personal relationship with Christ will come the grace and power to minister to others. And from this flow, two characteristics, central characteristics. To be like Christ, you must first be a man of prayer. And you know that Jesus rose early to pray. He often spent entire days in prayer. It was as natural to him as breathing. You're to be a man of prayer. Spurgeon said, "My brethren, let me beseech you to be men of prayer. Great talents you may never have, but you will do enough well, you will do well enough without them if you abound in intercession." So David, be a man of prayer, not just for the sake of your own spiritual well-being, but because it's the heartbeat of your shepherding. If your spiritual well-being begins to suffer, your office will suffer as well. And we can never be strong in ministry and weak in prayer. So be a man of prayer and you'll be like Christ. But next, to be like Christ, you must also be a man of the word. And it would be an understatement to say that Jesus was a man of the word. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God incarnate. And yet Jesus always spoke the word. He read the word. He taught the word. He sang the word. He preached the word with such power, such familiarity, such authority that his listeners were awestruck by what they heard from his holy lips. Jesus defended the word against inaccurate interpretations, and he used the sword of the Holy Spirit against the temptations of the devil. One of the basic qualifications for a pastor is an intimate but growing, ever-increasing familiarity with the Word of God. Remember Interpreter's House in Pilgrim's Progress? The portrait on the wall of the man with his eyes that were lifted to heaven, and the best of books were in his hand, the law of truth written upon his lips, and the world was behind his back. That was the portrait of a faithful minister of the gospel. He was the man of the word, and you're to be that man, David. Paul could tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15 to do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And in Titus 1:9, it teaches that a biblical elder must hold firm to the trustworthy message as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it. And so when the apostles instituted the office of deacons in Acts 6, verse 4, they said, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And you too must be devoted to prayer and the ministry of the word if you are to be like Christ. As an elder, you're not only expected to be like Christ, but you are also expected to shepherd like Christ. Someone said that Jesus had many metaphors by which to explain his character and his office, but the metaphor he loved best in terms of betraying or portraying himself was that of a shepherd. Jesus says in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep." And Christ's final charge to Peter at the end of John's gospel is couched in the language of a shepherd, where he gives that triple exhortation to Peter when he says, "Feed my lambs, teach my sheep, feed my sheep." And Jesus made it very clear that they were not Peter's sheep, but they belonged to Christ who bought them. And that charge to Peter left such a lasting impression upon the apostle that later when he wrote his first epistle, he used these words in addressing the saints in 1 Peter 2:25. "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And the portion of scripture that was read from 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter exhorts the elders among you, "As a fellow elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as the partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed," and he exhorts them to shepherd the flock of God that is among you. And in shepherding the flock of God, there are two things you should always do. Guard the flock, because you know that there are wolves out there, and many come dressed in sheep's clothing. You are to make sure that the sheep are protected from false teachers. Make sure the flock is protected from ingesting the harmful food of false doctrine. And then you are to feed the flock. Jesus told Peter to feed his sheep, and he expects every shepherd to feed their flock with the best of food, solid meat of faithful doctrine, 16 ounces to the pound. Paul exhorts the elders in Acts 20:28 to pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. And what is this saying? Well, this is not only the grammar of communicatio idiomatum, where the properties of the divine word can be ascribed to the man Christ. This also shows that Christ's sheep are so precious to him that he paid the ultimate price by purchasing them with his own blood. It must be a precious flock that was bought with such a precious price. So if these sheep are precious to Jesus, they ought to be precious to us as under shepherds. As Richard Baxter put it, "Oh, then let us hear these arguments of Christ whenever we feel ourselves grow dull and careless. Did I die for these souls, and will you not look after them? Were they worth my blood, and are they not worth your labor?" And this brings us, secondly, having seen what is expected of you, to see what is to be expected by you. And you should expect these five realities. I had to get those 5 points in there. First, you should expect greater responsibility. James says in James 3:1, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." And in Hebrews 13:17, "Teachers, that you are now keeping watch over souls as one who will have to give an account." So, David, you have a greater responsibility because you now have a greater accountability before the Lord. As a realtor, you have a fiduciary responsibility for your clients. As a husband and father, you have a domestic responsibility for your home. But as an elder and pastor, you have a spiritual responsibility for an entire church. With greater responsibility comes greater influence, both for good but also for evil. And one elder who goes rogue can disrupt an entire church and easily dismantle years of ministry in a matter of days. Next, you should expect greater demands upon you, greater demands upon your time, upon your family, your physical stamina, your patience, your sanity. Greater demands can come from belligerent, disrespectful church members. Shepherds quickly learn that sheep can bite. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2:24, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil." Commit that text to memory, David. If you thought life was hectic and demanding already, well, watch what happens now that you're an elder. Third, you should expect greater scrutiny. You know, when you left our house and got married, you moved out of the fishbowl of the pastor's household. But now that you are a pastor yourself, you're back in the aquarium. And knowing that your life will be more closely scrutinized as a pastor, you must be sure to be a good example to everyone. It's amazing how many times that's impressed upon elders. 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity." Titus 2:7, he says, "Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works." And 1 Peter 5:3, he says, "Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." And then fourth, you should expect greater warfare. Satan is like an expert sniper who not only fires upon targets of opportunity, but also looks for high-value targets such as senior officers. And becoming an elder puts a big target on your back for Satan to shoot at. So you must resist the devil. If the devil can lead you into little sins, it will compromise your effectiveness. If he can lead you into a great sin, it will compromise your integrity. And if you lose your integrity, you lose your office. So in light of these great expectations, you should naturally sense the magnitude of this office and cry out with the Apostle Paul, "Who is sufficient for all these things?" And Paul answers that in 2 Corinthians 3:5-6, "Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God who has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant." Or as Christ later told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And therefore, what you should finally expect, fifthly, is greater grace. You should expect what Dr. Sam Waldron refers to as grace, grace. The marvelous grace of our loving Lord. You should expect a great outpouring of divine favor to equip you, to empower you, to protect and sustain you, to preserve you, and to keep you to the end. The Lord of the harvest does not thrust laborers into his harvest field without first equipping them for the task. And you can depend upon it that the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. And as Jim Renahan said in his newly published book, To the Judicious and Impartial Reader, "If Christ has given a man to the church, he has provided that man with the necessities to serve in the position through the work of the Holy Spirit." One sees the constant theme: the head nourishes the body. So, David, in light of these truths, we know that no mortal man is sufficient for such things. And that is why our prayer for you will always be that the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, will equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And this prayer is answered in your life and labors for Christ, as it is being answered, then when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Amen.
Rob Cosby of Tucson Reformed Baptist Church. I was just doing the math. I think it was 12 years ago that I stood on this platform taking these vows myself. Time has flown. But I'm here to ask the covenantal question of our brother David. David, do you from your heart pledge these following vows? Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament as originally given to be the inerrant word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
Yes, I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the confession of faith of this church, the Second London Baptist Confession, as containing the system of doctrine taught in these holy scriptures? Do you further promise that if at any time you find yourself out of accord with any of this system of doctrine, you will, on your own initiative, make this charge known to the elders and voluntarily submit your resignation from this office?
Yes, I will.
Do you promise to guard the purity, peace, unity, and progress of Christ's church?
Yes,
with God's help. Amen.
I would make some personal comments about David, but they could be very personal. I've known David for many years, and I praise God for this day as I've seen him grow in grace, and it's been a pleasure to work with him over the years, and I pray that God will continue to bless him as he has blessed this church. Romans 12, 10 through 12 is a word from Paul exhorting Christians to their duty, and yet I do believe it has application toward the church for its pastors. And it says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. I'm Rob Holmes. I am one of the other pastors here at Grace Covenant Church, and my duty is to charge the congregation with supporting their new pastor. And that first charge would be love your pastor as you should love one another and love Jesus Christ. Respect and honor him for the office which Christ has called him to and you, the congregation, have chosen him for. Be fervent in service and support. The church is made up of all of you, men and women, whom Christ has called to walk together in communion. So, we are charged to share with each other the gifts and good things that God has provided you with. You're charged to rejoice and be patient. Be patient with your new pastor, your new elder, because he is only a man at best, though God has blessed him with gifts and called him. He is a man, and he may stumble. So be patient and rejoice with him when God blesses him and blesses the congregation through him. And finally, be constant in prayer. Who is equal to the task given to pastors? No one. We need prayerful support from the congregation. So pray for David that the Spirit will work through him in his service. Pray that he will continue to grow in grace and in holiness. Pray that his skill in the Word will always and ever increase. Pray that his love will abound for Christ's church. Pray that David will not fall into temptation, for many good men have been struck down by the attack of the devil and even through their own carelessness. So pray that God would build a hedge around our pastor. Pray that David will maintain his love for his wife and family in the face of much labor and pressure. And lastly, congregation, pray that God will be glorified through our brother and through his ministry and through his life. That is my charge, our charge, to you, the people of God at Grace Covenant.
I'm Christopher O'Neill. I'm one of the pastors at Providence Reformed Baptist Church in Casa Grande. This is a solemn act, people of God, brothers and sisters. And it also involves obligations on your part, you who are members of this body. So since this is an obligation for you as well, I ask you, before God, the following questions. And if the answer to each one of these questions is yes, then I'll ask that you respond, we do. Do you, the members of Grace Covenant Church, in the name of the Lord, pledge to receive David Jerizzo as your new elder as appointed by Christ? Do you promise to submit to the oversight of this new elder, to give him the honor, encouragement, cooperation, and support to which this office entitles him, and esteem him highly in love because of his work in the Lord? Do you promise before God to pray for David's wisdom, encouragement, spiritual growth, sanctification, and preservation in this office? Praise the Lord.
I could now have the pastors that are designated to come lay hands with prayer for David. Please come up to the platform, and maybe Paul and Drew, if you could give us a hand moving this pulpit to the corner. Why don't we do it at this time right now?
and 281 for all the saints. Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in peace.